It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Kulani.
Well, the recovery of millions of ounces of gold from old West Rand mine dumps is poised to get the go-ahead. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is like Ergo too. We remember the Ergo 35 years ago on the East Rand. The shareholders are still smiling for the billions of rands that they managed to get out of getting gold, recovering gold, uranium, and even sulfuric acid from these mine dumps. There's a lot of value in them. Now they're looking to the west. And why not do this on the west? And we have the major there, which is Goldfields, linking up with a relatively mid-tier company, Gold One, which is now Chinese controlled. And they are studying the possibility of actually combining their efforts to mine together. That'll take up 60% of the dumps on the West Rand there. The remaining 40% is left with Anglo Gold Ashanti, and perhaps they'll also come into it, because one of the secrets of doing this is to turn this gold recovery into a veritable factory, and you need a big volume of dump material coming through, and that's when your unit costs go down and your profits go up. And as I say, you know, the people out there that were investors in Ergo 35 years ago and beyond, they're still smiling, and we still see DRD Gold, which took over from the big Anglo-American on the East Rand, continuing to get good value out of the dumps on the East Rand, and now hopefully they'll do the same on the West Rand.
Wow, fascinating. Well, the government here at home is going all out to halt South Africa's deindustrialization and set the country on a new path of reindustrialization. Talk to us about that, Martin.
Critical, you know, for us to increase our industrial footprint. We had a very big industrial footprint in South Africa, which shrunk considerably, and now they're trying to rebuild it. And you need some government intervention to get things going. And they're starting off here with this Preferential Procurement Act, which you know, the regulations of which became effective late last year, so that they can actually designate products that must be made here. So in other words, the government won't buy these products unless they are made in South Africa, which gives you a starting point. And the designated products, there's a long list of them, but I can just say power pylons. They're saying they must be made here. Trains, buses, set-top boxes. In other words, when they buy those, they must have a local manufacturing content. And that's the stipulation for the purchase. So this, in a way, gives comfort to local manufacturers. They can then start investing because they know, well, there's going to be a big purchaser in the form of the government. Then there's been an accord with 84 big companies. So the government's saying we mustn't only do this on our own. We must go into the private sector. So they've had this accord last year where all parties to this accord, including the 84 of South Africa's largest companies, are saying we will do our best to procure from these local companies. So then you get that multiplier effect. We know that there are other competitive juices that must flow, of course. You know, we see China in a very good position because they don't allow their currency to float, you know, and in a way, not allowing their currency to float, you've got an artificially low currency there, and this gives them a tremendous competition, and they look good, even when they're not really that good. I mean, a little country like South Africa floats its currency. It bobs around like a cork on a big ocean, you know, which is very tough for the local manufacturers. So you need a competitive rand. You know, the local manufacturers also need a competitive rand. And you also, of course, don't need the government to say, oh, we'll only buy South African, because that can make people lazy. So what in this legislation, they can also undesignate. So if they find suddenly there's no competitive juices in these products that they've designated as being locally, must be locally manufactured, they can undesignate that to create the competitive situation. So they're trying to keep the competitive in it. And they've been thinking about it quite extensively, and they are getting backing from manufacturers. But as I say, there are other constraints. There's also the electricity price constraint. And of course, maybe with the toll roads, it also has an impact on manufacturing competitiveness.
It's such a complex issue, because especially with the exchange rate, for instance, there are so many views. And how do you balance? How do you get a competitive rate that satisfies everyone?
Exactly.
Very, very interesting. All right, then, all roads will lead to Cape Town next week, Martin, when people from all over the world will descend on the mother city for South Africa's 18th mining indaba.
This is amazing that there have been 18 mining indabas. It's been a huge success story. I mean, foreign investors came in and they created this. They chose Cape Town as the place to have African mining. And, you know, every year more and more people arrive from all over the world. You know, I think there are 45 different countries being represented this year. 30 government delegations will come down. And, you know, it's like 6,500 people, I think, they're working on. So you can almost see the tangible deal doing. You know, when you go there, you know that people have arrived who need money, and you know that people are there with money, And you can see this intensive engagement that leads to long-term investment, of course. You know, they take decisions in principles there to work together. They go and do their studies, and billions of rands have gone into investment in Africa as a result of the interface at the mining in Indaba in Cape Town. And now we see the word Indaba beginning to migrate. We're starting to export the term Indaba, because the same group now from this year, they will have an Asian Indaba. They're going to call it the Indaba. And that will take place in Singapore late in October. So we can see that the success has been so great that they're even able to export this name and try and recreate the same sort of atmosphere in Singapore and in Asia with the Asian Indaba.
Wow, that's fascinating. Well, together with the name, we would like to export some finished products as well, that the Asians must buy our products.
That's the spirit.
All right. Well, Martin Krima, thank you very much. Martin Krima is the publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday. Thanks indeed, Martin.
Thank you, Kulani.